So good morning. Hello, my friends. I am glad to see your faces today. I get to look at you. This is one of the privileges of being up here, and I'm taking advantage of it. It's especially fun because we are all here on purpose. We're all here for the same reason, to have joy in the house of the Lord with our fellow brothers and sisters, to honor our Creator and our Redeemer, to celebrate His beautiful work and activity in this world and in our lives. We've been slowly making our way through the book of Revelation, taking breaks here and there, and sometimes even diving into specific sections. And for the past few months, we have been taking a deep dive into the ocean of worship. And for the past 2 weeks, we've been sitting with worship as confession. As kind of Brandon said a couple weeks ago, confession is agreeing with God's assessment of things. And last week, we slowed down to spend time with Jesus as he lamented, as he intentionally leaned into and confessed to his heavenly Father the difficult and the painful emotions and experiences of grief and sorrow and longing. And as we intentionally held on to lament for ourselves last week, well, we noticed that in Jesus Christ, in his life, his ministry, and his finished work, there is hope. We just sung about it. That as Revelation 5:5 declares, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Jesus, the lion, has conquered over the world and its brokenness. Jesus, the lion, has conquered over the flesh and its selfish, hard-hearted rejection of God's love and rebellion from the good work that we were given. Jesus, the lion, has conquered over our enemy too, sin, death, evil, the devil. And last week, many of you commented on how powerful that prayer of lament was. It seemed like so many of you could find yourself in that prayer at some point in your life. And I totally agree too. I found myself in there. That prayer was an honest confession to God during a time of grief and loss. And found right in the middle of that prayer, there was a turning point. A kind of Holy Spirit realization moment in the grief. This confession of lament offered up to God revealed a key reality that is echoed throughout Scripture. I'll read a tiny section of that prayer last week so that we can see this key for ourselves. So here's part of the prayer. It goes, I'm so angry, God. I'm so angry that you allowed this to happen. You made the whole universe. And now I'm so lost. I don't even know why. Did you give me this gift only to take it away? How do I survive? Do you even see me? I don't even have words anymore. Just tears. I feel numb. And I don't want to function. Just leave me alone. And the prayer continues, but why? Why do I talk to you more now when everything is so very wrong? You didn't spare me from this pain, and you're the one I talk to when my grief wakes me up in the middle of the night. You're the one I scream at when I'm alone in the car. You're the one who hears my heart when all I have left is tears that don't have an ending. Did you guys catch that turning point? God is the one who draws near. God is the one who is available to talk to us in the middle of the night, alone in a car, He is the one who hears us for all that life brings our way. Every experience, every thought, every feeling, every moment, every tear of pain and beauty. God is near to us. But what's more is that we are dear to God's heart as well. Last week we read in Revelation 5 of Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David who is conquered. And we praise God for that. For he is restoring and redeeming all things back to himself. But that's not the only description that John gives of Jesus. If you want to turn your Bibles open to Revelation 5 or get your phone ready, let's read Revelation 5, verses 1 through 6 now, and see how else John describes Jesus. So verse 1, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is conquered so that he can open the seal or open the scroll and its seven seals. And here's verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. John at first sees a lion, and now he sees a lamb, a slain lamb. Jesus, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is also a lamb who has been slain. Jesus is the lion who conquered sin and death and evil and the devil, and also a slain lamb who draws near to us in our pain, in our sorrow, and in our grief. Hebrews 4, verses 4 to 16 puts it this way. It says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you hear how gentle Jesus' ministry is to us? In times of weakness, we often fear the roar of Jesus, the lion. Just as he roared over his enemies, over the corruption of sin, over the disintegration of death, over the damage and the poison of evil, over the powers and the principalities of the devil. But if we are in Christ, if we belong to him and find our home in him, we are not his enemies. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters. We are the Father's children. We have an ear. We have the ear of God on the throne. And because of Jesus' conquering work, we are invited to boldly, with confidence, approach the throne of grace. So not only is the God of creation near to us, not only are we dear to his heart, but we are welcomed into the throne room to make our hearts and our desires known. This is the kind of relationship that Jesus won for us. He draws us so very close and is affectionate toward us. And he treats us not as a slave or a servant, but as though our voice counts. Like our voice and our presence in his house, in this house, matters. He treats us like family. This is the kind of relationship that Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb, offers us. So I want to spend the rest of our time on what it might look like to for us to draw near to this throne of grace with confidence. Because our worship involves relationally responding to what Jesus has done, who he is, and how he draws near. And I think it might be helpful for us to frame our response by talking about the emotion of joy. So joy is the emotion of relational connection. Again, joy is the emotion of relational connection. Joy is the feeling you get when you enter a room and others are glad that you're there. And in the back, this is kind of joy, the emotion and the idea of joy. It's in the back. There's a book called The Other Half of Church, and that dives more into this if you're interested. Joy is the kind of emotion that can stay with us as we experience pain, the emotions of pain, because joy is felt when we are connected to others who love us and whom we love. We can lament and not be alone. We can be in pain and close to another who sits with us. We can grieve and be seen and known and loved by God and by others. God has designed us to run on joy. Our bodies and our minds and our hearts are made to return to joy, to return to rest in loving relationships. Psalm 30, verse 5, it declares, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In John 15, Jesus is revealing that joyful love is the reality of the kingdom of God. The new commandment that Jesus is establishing on the night of his betrayal, the commandment that his disciples are to be pursuing and they're to be known by, is love. It's joy-filled, relationally connected love. Just as the Father, just like Jesus has with his Father. So let's listen to John 15. I'll read verses 9 to 13. And this is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Jesus is describing joy in terms of relationship. Are you catching that? In terms of being connected with another who loves you. Being connected with and abiding in him. When we are in the presence of the Lord, joy is often used to describe what's going on. Joy is what we feel when we are connected in relationship with God. But when we find ourselves without joy, without feeling connected to those whom we love and those who are glad that we are with them, we feel isolated and lonely. We feel scared and anxious. Without joy, without healthy, loving connection, without God's presence, we are filled with anguish. We wither away. We grow thirsty and desperate. But with joy, within God's presence and amongst his family, with God near and by our side, we are strong. We prosper. We're satisfied. Psalm 16 pretty much says it all. I think I'm reading the whole psalm. I am reading the entire psalm, verses 1 to 11. This is what it says. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrow of those who run after another god, well, those sorrows will multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon me to my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of light of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. An entire psalm. And in one of the great climaxes of the book of Hebrews, the author writes of joy also, and this is in chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It was for joy to bring us and all creation back to a whole and healthy, loving connection and relationship with God and each other that Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross. No wonder he scorned its shame. It wasn't shameful for him. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is conquered. Yes, and amen. And now, having conquered all his enemies, we look to behold the Lion, and we see a lamb, a slain lamb. We see the one who has taken our infirmities and our cares upon himself. We see the Creator God humble himself and suffer alongside us and draw near to us in our pain. I encourage you to read all of Psalm 34 today, but we'll get some highlights right now. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. 5, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. 6, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And then the last verse, verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Remember that lament prayer from last week? In a crushed spirit, the prayer cries out, "How do I survive? Do you even see me? I don't have words anymore, just tears. I feel numb. I don't want to function. Just leave me alone." And just like Psalm 34 describes, the slain lamb draws near to the brokenhearted, because the prayer now continues. "You're the one I talk to when my grief wakes me up in the middle of the night." The slain lamb answers the prayers of the suffering, because the prayer goes on, "You are the one who hears my prayers." The Holy Spirit dwelling within, groaning on our behalf, directs us to the loving actions of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who draws near to us. And he directs us to the comfort of the Father to his children. This is the same joy, the same loving relational connection that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit have and share with each other. And it is this that we are invited into by our loving Creator God. No matter how you're feeling, be it sadness, anger, disgust, shame, anxiety, despair, there is always a road back to joy. There's always a road back to joyful connection with God and with His body of believers. Because our story doesn't simply end with Jesus conquering our enemy and drawing near to us, nor does it stop with the Father taking us in his family, although those are unbelievably phenomenal. No, we get to partner with God to put this world back the way it ought to be, by expanding God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and by joyfully celebrating with all of God's people as we worship our Lord together forever and ever. And so, like as always here at Landmark, if this lesson has encouraged or challenged you in some way, allow us to take the next steps with you together so you don't have to do it alone. Let's pray. Lord, you're okay with the reality that we find ourselves in. And we don't have to do it alone. You draw near. In fact, not only do you draw near, but you bring others to draw near to us. This goes for the hard and the painful and the difficulty of life, but also sharing in beauty and wonder and awe with another person is also very needed. We can't do life alone. We were never meant to. And the more that we draw close to you, the more we find that, well, we were designed for this. We were designed to live life with you and with your family. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you that you love us and that you draw near, that you have conquered our enemies, and that you give us good work to do with you for eternity. So we thank you, Lord. Amen.